Well, I've just come back from Pakistan, so you're gonna hear a little bit about Pakistan. Bit off the beaten track, but it was great. I grew up there. In case you've not met me before, I grew up there, so I was sort of going back to where I was. And I want to start with a story about something that happened while I was there. If any of you have been to that part of the world, you know that you have to be careful what you eat. And I thought I'd been careful with what I ate and drank, but not careful enough, obviously. Day one, day two, actually. And I thought, oh no, I was a bit poorly. Without going into too much detail, let's just leave it there. And I thought, what am I going to do? Anyway, right early on, there was this bishop there from England who did this teaching on healing. And so I thought, that's great. And then I went to a workshop, and he said, right, now we're going to have a go at praying for healing. And I said, yep, I'm up for that. I said, I'm a good case study. You know, I'm not feeling very well. Anyway, the point was, so I prayed for a young Pakistani chap, and then he prayed for me. And remarkably, I had no more problems. It was just amazing. And God just worked in a very very particular way. And I want to start with that story because today's reading from Hebrews, it has this idea of priesthood, the high priest. And I want to start by saying that actually we all are called to be high priests and leaders. And in that situation, this is a 23-year-old lad who was not a vicar or any, you know, I think he was a compute IT person, worked in IT, and he prayed for me and it just went. And the point was that, you know, God just worked in a particular way at that point and chose that I was going to be okay for the next 7 days. It was remarkable. Healing. And there's some things I want to look at briefly about what it means to be a high priest and from this reading. And just think a little bit about what that looks like for us in our everyday lives. This book, Hebrews, is a really fascinating letter. Because, no one knows who wrote it. Some people think it was a guy called Barnabas who did stuff with Paul. Some people think it was a guy called Apollos who also did stuff in Corinth with Paul. But actually, no one knows because it doesn't say. But it's written to the Christians who were from a Jewish background who seemed to be wanting to go back into being Jewish again. And so he wrote this letter, and it's all about how Jesus is supreme. That is the message of Hebrews, that Jesus is supreme. And so in this part of the book, because obviously it's quite a long book or letter, in this part of the book he's talking about Jesus as the great high priest. So I've just been in Pakistan and I spent a lot of time with this guy, and he's a guy called Bishop Irfan. He's the Bishop of Lahore. And Bishop Irfan's a really great guy because he is someone who is, you know, he's a bishop, he's really funny, and he's really down to earth. And I want to suggest that Irfan is a guy who really understands what it means to be a high priest. A really good high priest is like a really good bishop. He's like a really good Christian. And I just a couple of thoughts, really, and then we're going to continue with our service. But here's a little verse that it says in this passage, that when we're a Christian, we can come boldly into the very throne room of God. And that is the role of the high priest, is to kind of lead us in to that place. There is a story about a guy who wanted to go and see the President of the United States during the Civil War. And so he went to, I think it was the White House back then, but it was kind of like the White House or the one that preceded. Anyway, he goes to the gates, and he's waiting, and he's been waiting for a long time. I think he's been there for a day or two. And a little boy comes up to him and says, what are you doing? And he says, well, I have this problem, and I really want to speak to someone about it who can make a difference. And the little boy says, okay. He says, I'd like to speak to someone inside the White House. And he says, oh, okay. Well, do you want to come with me? Little boy takes him by the hand, and the guy sort of says, well, okay. He walks past the gates and walks past the main guards. No one stops them. Walks in to the front door. No one stops them. Walks right into the White House. No one stops them. Walks right into the Oval Office. No one stops them. And comes, and there in front of them is Abraham Lincoln. And the guy just doesn't know what's going on. How has this little boy been able to get him into the very throne room of God? Into the president's office. Someone, the current president, may think that. Anyway, and of course, the reality is that he was Abraham Lincoln's son. And so Abraham Lincoln said, hello, son, you know, what can I do for you? And he looked up, and then this chap had the conversation with Abraham Lincoln, with the president. The point was that the boy was able to take him right into that place because of who he was. And in this passage, the idea is that Jesus is taking us into the very throne room of God, that place where we can have complete and utter access to him. And as this passage goes on, it talks about what that looks like, what that role is like of taking people to God. And it's kind of a picture of what we call servant leadership. And in Hebrews, at the very start of this, in chapter 4, it talks about how Jesus as a high priest is not someone who hasn't been tested, but actually has been tested in all the ways that we're tested, and yet, it says, is without sin. In other words, morally, is absolutely, has remained, without sin. Now, that's a kind of moral idea, but isn't it important that when we present ourselves to people that we don't act like we've got it all together, but that actually we're real? And the point is that when we come to Jesus and we pray, we're coming to someone who gets it. He gets exactly what we're going through because he's probably been through it himself. And that's a fairly key idea in the Bible, that we're not praying to someone who's standing there going, wait, you're getting this all wrong. We're actually praying to Jesus, who is someone who has been there and done it and yet has managed to do it without maybe making some of the mistakes that sometimes we make. And that's really important, isn't it? The picture that we see of leadership here is also one in Hebrews, in the reading that we had, is one that involves humility. Do you remember the gospel reading that I read out, where there's two disciples, James and John, who go to Jesus and they say, can we sit next to you? That may seem like not a big deal. What it meant was, can we be the top disciples? Can we be number one? And of course, Jesus says, well, no. You know, you're going to be baptized, you're going to follow in me in suffering, but no, you can't be number one. Actually, he uses it as an opportunity to teach. And he says, those who want to be first must be last. Those who want to lead must be servants of all. And there's this really key idea in the Bible that to be God's kind of leader is to be a servant of all. A servant of all. Do you know, I work with lots of you, and I kind of get to know those who have who it's really easy to ask to do things, and those who have to work a little bit harder. Some people, they're just ready to go and serve. And they're the ones who have the servant heart. And I don't want to be critical of others. It's just that that's a sign of real maturity as a Christian. That it's a bit like we go from being outsiders and not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus, and then we come to church and we begin to worship and understand. And then at some point, we make the transition from being the newcomer and the guest to actually being a part of the church, being the ones who serve. And until we get to that point of being servant-hearted, actually, we haven't quite grown. You know, there's more growth to do. And eventually, we may get to the point where we're the ones who are sent out to really go out. We're all sent out, but we're the apostles who go out. The point is that there's that point where we need to come to be servant-hearted in our faith as we follow the Spirit. And that is the point that we see in this wonderful book of Hebrews and also in the gospel reading. He goes on there and he talks about how it's also about being prayerful. Being a leader is about being prayerful. And it says that Jesus prayed, he prayed with, and he cried out to God. We can't really be a leader or be a good priest, a good high priest, in the broader sense of for all of you, unless we pray. That maybe sounds pretty simple for some of us, but we can't do that unless we pray. If we pray, we can have the energy and the focus to actually go forward. But if we're people who aren't prepared to pray, we don't actually, we're probably not going to manage too well. And in the scriptures as it's presented here, prayer is linked, interestingly, with gentleness, being gentle in our faith and in our ministry. Coming from Pakistan, I was really interested to see that there's not many Westerners there anymore. It's really difficult being there now. I'm a fairly big bloke. I can walk around the streets of Leeds and not be that anxious about people taking me down or having a go at me, all right? So I'm pretty used to going places and feeling confident going out. I couldn't leave the gates without an escort in Pakistan, okay? It's like, just because of the security situation, if we went on a drive, we had to have an armed person with a gun with them. It's just because of all the security stuff, that's how it is there now. And so it's really it's a different environment with all the bombings and stuff. It's much more stable now than it would be. In fact, I reckon, taking my kids there is an option now because I've seen it. But you still realize that it's that kind of place. Here's the thing. The missionaries who have stayed, on the whole, are single women. So I went and met these women who have been there for like 25 years. And to meet them, you wouldn't look twice at them. You wouldn't, you know what I mean? They're just ordinary, quiet unassuming, in worldly terms, unimpressive people. But they've done some unbelievable stuff there. And all they've done is just very gently, over time, unobtrusively, serve God. That's been what they've done. And in this reading, it kind of talks about how that is how that is how God works as well. That he works in a very gentle, prayerful way. He wants us to work in a gentle, prayerful way. That is being a high priest. That is being a leader. And that is what we're called to do. Someone like Irfan has got all sorts of pressures on him, but fundamentally, he serves people. And as a leader myself, I always have to remember that my job is to serve. And if I ever become, think of myself as, a bit like a sort of a leader who everyone needs to follow without serving them, I'm just on the wrong track. Okay, A, it doesn't work and it just winds people up. But B, it's just not right. That's just not how Christian ministry works. That's what is really different from leadership in the Christian sense, often to leadership in like the corporate world. In the Christian sense, our main ministry is that as the chief, as the leader, we are the chief servant. And that's a pretty profound kind of idea. And we can only do it in the strength of God's Spirit. So they're the sort of marks of leadership. And some of them are quite profound. We're called to be people of prayer. We're called to be people who are gentle in the way that we approach things. We're called to be servant-hearted in all that we do. We're called to be people who stand and actually allow people to enter into that kind of that throne room of God. That is the picture that we have of leadership in certainly in the book of Hebrews and also in the gospel. It's a challenging picture, but that's what God calls us to. Whoever you are, whether you're working in the church, there's only a couple of us really, or volunteers here, there's loads of you, or frankly, stuff that you do out there in the world, where you're serving God, these principles apply equally. That you're called to that kind of ministry of servant-heartedness. That's actually how God sort of draws us together. So we're going to just have a moment now just of quiet reflection. We're going to do that. I just want you to sort of think about yourself and your life and from that unusual kind of reading that we've had. But I want you just to, we're going to watch this little reflective video. Rather than singing, we're just going to sit quietly. I want you just to think about your life at the moment. Think about where you're at with God, and how perhaps we can all become people who are great high priests, servant leaders, who can follow after what God wants for us.